Sci-fi party line.
To another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is Kat, that is Eric, and today we're going to talk about Lost.
Yes, more Lost.
Oh yeah, this is getting intense. We'll do some other TV shows later, but you know, we're just really heavy on the Lost because we have, what, 7 episodes left?
Something like 7 or so before the 2-hour finale.
Wait a second, I thought it was just 7, period.
No, I believe it's 7 till the finale, which is another 2 hours. On the last night. I'm pretty sure that's how they're doing the math.
This show. Okay, so 2 shows have, I guess, elapsed since last time we talked, and that was Recon and Ab Eterno. Can you say that? Because that was just...
I don't know how to say it. I mean, it's Latin more than Spanish, so I don't know. I'm just saying Abiturno.
That's just shameful for you, dude. Anyway, let's start with Recon, because I really don't have anything to say about that. Sawyer was a cop and flashed sideways. Yawn. And he, like, had a booty call with redheaded chick. What's her name? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know her name, but yeah, Faraday's girl.
Okay, whatever. We're not going to deal with that.
Well, I'm pretty sure Sawyer just calls her Red anyway.
So offensive.
No, but on this episode, I mean, yes, it's been... I almost completely forgot it ever happened once I saw the most recent episode. And, I mean, it's no fault of the episode. It's just there's been... so many other juicier episodes in season 6 that this one just can't hold its own compared to these other ones.
Charlotte Lewis.
Yes, Charlotte. And it's unfortunate too, because I know some people are like, you know, because obviously she's been absent for a little while. And
she died.
Exactly. And it kind of stinks that for her return, it's in a role and it's in a situation that's pretty much going to get overlooked. Unless she comes back yet again before the end, it just kind of stinks for her, I think, because... we're so much more focused on other things now.
At least she got one more try.
Yeah. And one neat thing, at least from Recon in the Sideways verse, it was interesting the juxtaposition of seeing Sawyer working with Miles as them both being police. It was just interesting going back to season 5 because they were like sheriff and deputy back in Dharmaville in the 70s.
Yes, they sure were.
Yeah, so just another interesting... little, and it also another thing, it was not made clear, but it would be interesting to know if Miles in the Sideways verse, if he had his special ability to speak to the dead or not.
That is interesting.
We don't know, and it wasn't really said, and I don't know if we'll find out, but it would be nice to know, I guess.
I guess. I still don't know if Sideways is real or it's just an exercise and theatrical masturbate. I don't know.
No, I firmly believe, and I've stated it numerous times, that it is just the season finale of season 5 when Jack is so insistent on, you know, deploying the bomb, and then they do. I believe that the Sideways verse is the result of their actions in the season finale.
Yeah, but you're not so sure. I mean, it's good.
Sure.
It's
I don't good. Know. I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure what we're now seeing with our Losties on the island and everything that's going on right now on the island.
It's your fork, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Other end of the fork. Okay, the incident at the end of season 5 caused the Sideways verse events to occur. But I said this in our first Lost episode of this season, our first podcast, that at some point it's somehow going to get set right or back to what we're used to. And those are the events that we are seeing right now transpiring on the island. And that's why we have the Sideways and the quote unquote original. But yeah, that's my story and I'm sticking to it for now.
Yeah. I'll let you have it. Okay. So, you know, let's go from Recon to Ab Eterno, which I'm butchering.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's Latin, you know, it's Latin. for from
Okay, but I
eternity.
do want to roll at R, but I'm not really good at that, so I don't. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Oh my God, this episode was Richard Alpert's episode. It was, epic. It was huge. It was the biggest episode ever for me. It was scary. It was well, frightening, not never necessarily scary like monster scary, but it frightened me at first because my biggest fear with this show is that they're going to tell us that everyone's dead and this is hell and this has all been some weird, purgatory, blah, blah. And, they really laid on that heavy in this episode. So they was kind of tricking us, but
Tricking
they
you.
tricking me, but they wrote it in such a way to I was like, oh my God, this is these are the last episodes. They're coming out with this crap. My God, please don't make it this easy. And then they backed off of it, towards the middle of the episode to where I calmed down. But I was definitely calling bloody murder, bloody shark, everything because I was they caught me for a second.
So now
They
I know
caught
what you're talking about because, yeah, I never felt that that was really gonna be like the reality, you know?
Well, no, because Richard, at the beginning, when he was sitting around with the Losties,
Yeah.
he was like, you know what? You're all dead. This is hell. And he said that
Yeah.
in current day time. Like,
Yeah, he absolutely did, but I felt, but I swear, I'm not just saying this after having seen it all, but I swear the first time when that happened, and yeah, he was making this huge declaration, but I felt strongly that, oh yeah, he's saying that now, and I felt very strongly that during the episode we were about to watch, as it unfolded, that they were going to explain his belief, and then boom, that's exactly what happened.
well, they
But
did after they laid it on thick a little bit more to where he went to the island. He didn't, the man in black was taunting him, telling him that Jacob was the devil. He thought that Richard thought that man in black was the devil. They were, man in black actually called Jacob the devil. They actually called it hell. I mean, they were really toying with us there, on face value. And then Jacob kind of cleared it up, smacked him around. I was like, look, this, what, really? You really gonna believe me? Yeah.
yeah. I was waiting for that too, because I never believe anything, especially Man in Black says. I never take anything he says for face value. So I was just going along and just waiting for that time when Richard was going to get set straight.
Well, do you think because Man in Black did a really good job at confusing the situation because he said that, let's see, he said something about Jacob holding him in the island, taking his body, taking his humanity from him. What is all of that? He's saying he were saying that that Jacob was impersonating him. Maybe, or took his face or something. It was just really weird the way he was saying these things, and it gave into Joe's theory that Jacob and Man in Black are one and the same to me.
Okay, I'll get back to the one and the same thing because I have more thoughts on that.
Okay.
But as far as what you're saying right now, that is definitely very muddled, all that stuff that he was saying. And again, the reason why it's so muddled is because we can't take anything he says for face value, because we can't necessarily take any of that as truth about taking his identity and his humanity, etc. But I mean, I'm certain there are seeds of truth in there, because the thing is, what he's describing, he may be talking about Jacob, but you know, because a lot of because for instance, before that, like, when he was calling, you know, he's saying Jacob's the devil, he's the bad one, he's the one who's doing all this. In a way, okay, Man in Black is basically lying, so he could have switched both roles in a way when he was speaking to Richard. He could have, when he was describing Jacob as the devil, he could have been describing himself, and when he was describing himself as lost his humanity and he's lost his body and this and that, he could have been describing Jacob. Now, I'm not saying that's literally true, but I'm just saying there could be elements of like of that could have been switched around when Man in Black was talking to Richard. So it's all very confusing to begin with. But another thought that occurred to me as I was watching that scene for the first time was just like the way we see Man in Black now as not Locke. That obviously was not originally Smoke Monster's body. Obviously, it took Locke's body. And as Man in Black was having that conversation with Richard, I was having the same thought. Why couldn't it be that the body that we see as Man in Black, that could have been,
Right.
well, no, it could have been another person, just like not Locke. Like it could have been another person who smoke monsters took over that person's body at that particular time.
But does Locke, not Locke, now have, does he have all of the memories of regular Locke? He does, doesn't he?
I don't know that for sure, but because see,
Because
man,
that would be weird.
because it's hard to know what not Locke does and does not know about Locke's life, because Man in Black already knows so much about Locke anyway, just like Jacob already knows so much about the lives of all
Right,
these
because they're
Colossi.
watching everybody. Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
but I don't know, we don't know if
But
Man in
then why
Black is
would a
also watching.
person in the begin in the in the skin of Man in Black be complaining about his body being taken over if it's not the same
No, but
person?
you know what? It very well could be. And going back to, does he know what Locke was thinking? Not Locke, because not Locke spoke about Locke's feelings, like going through Locke's real Locke's head, like right before what's his name?
Ben.
Ben killed him. And, you know, he was describing the thoughts that were going through real Locke's head at the moment. So I don't know if that's Smoke Monster, like, retaining the memories of original Locke, or I don't know how that works.
I
So
still need to know how he got in the body of Locke. How is he a shape? I mean, I know if he can change it to smoke, he can change it into whatever he wants. But I still want
see,
to know the mechanics of
that is
that.
unclear too, because this goes back to what we've talked about as well, because yes, Smoke Monster is permanently in not Locke form, even though he can still change it into smoke form, but we've also seen before how the monster can temporarily appear as other people.
Are you sure that he's appearing as other people, or is he
Yes,
sending
I'm very sure. Yeah,
manifestation?
no.
Are you, he's
Well, what
not,
do you mean manifestation?
he's sending, oh, that's good, Eric, because what you're telling me is that Man in Black on the Black Rock, when Richard was
Yes,
chained in the boat, came in the form of Isabella, then went outside, made a little scream, blah, blah, then came back down as, oh, what I was thinking is that he was sending a mental image, like a ghost or something, but they can't touch these people, so they're not. Oh, wow.
Well,
Thank
yeah,
you.
that was
Thank
see.
you. I
Well,
just,
that
I've
was
never thought that
no, that
before.
was completely obvious to me, like in the moment watching the
Oh.
episode. No, because it's because I knew it wasn't really her, because I knew there was deceit going on in that scene. I knew it wasn't really her, and so I knew it was Man in Black. I knew it was like Man in Black was staging it to try to convince Richard. And again, we've seen it before in past episodes, because Man in Black has taken the form of Christian, Jack's dad, and many other people, like, to try to convince other characters in the
I
past.
never
So
thought he was taking the form of them. I just always thought it was a ghost, or
yeah, but
I
see,
don't
again, the
know.
key difference is those are temporary, like you know, what do you call it? Like corporeal selves that Man in Black takes on, as which is different than him being actual not Locke. So it's still a little bit weird, like how that, because we don't know how he actually does either transformation, the temporary or the more permanent. And all again, all I was saying, going back to where we started, you know, who's to say that Man in Black in the past is not another version of a not somebody, just like not
Right,
now, because it
right.
very well could be, you know, that someone else that Man in Black took over at some point.
So Richard is not Egyptian. I was really sad about this
Oh,
because I was so sad about that because I was set on it.
I wasn't sad about the particular revelation of him not being Egyptian, but what I was sad about, from a conceited point of view, is that it was on the tip of my tongue the last two Lost episodes that we recorded, because I had put out that Egyptian theory when we were speaking to Joe, but then I failed to mention that my second choice. I said, you know, if he was not Egyptian, totally had to be Spanish, Spaniard. I've always thought that,
I
besides
found
being
the
shocked.
Spanish slavery thing kind of weird, like, that
Well,
didn't
okay,
sound.
the whole slavery thing is a bit weird, but I just mean, just at least him being of Spanish origin, that was definitely always on my mind besides the Egyptian theory. So I was okay.
There is no record of it. I don't believe you. We're tossing it
Oh,
out.
yeah. No, because really.
Strike it from the record.
No, because whenever there's a character in film or television who has like heavy on the eyeliner, I mean, whatever, it's always ends up being an Egyptian or a Spaniard. That's just the way it is in Hollywood for some reason. So
Know,
that's
if I
how.
had bothered to look at his real name, we could have came up with that. I mean,
Oh
what's
yeah, but that doesn't really.
Nestor Carbonell? What is this thing? Yeah, Nestor Carbonell.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, but we could have, really like got in there and guessed.
No, but
But I
yeah, but it
didn't.
was no shock to me at all that okay, he is a Spaniard. But yeah, I was hoping,
Mean, I
I
wasn't
was hoping,
disappointed.
yeah.
I mean, I was like, I really wanted to be Egyptian because I really wanted a connection to all the Egyptian crap that was on the island.
Well,
But, you know, I
there
know.
is still an
I know. I
ancillary
wanted
connection.
that to be it. I wanted that to be it. I was really caught up in Joe's, mythology of him being Egyptian and bringing some. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
there
just
are
enjoyed
still
it.
some ancillary connections to the whole Egypt thing, which we'll get to in a bit. But the only thing that bothered me slightly about him being Spanish instead of Egyptian was that because he was Spanish, his origin time is so much more recent than I was thinking. I mean,
Yeah.
1867, I was thinking, okay, if he's Spanish, either maybe 1500s or obviously, if he was Egyptian, we're talking, 2000
Yeah.
years or something. That's my only mild disappointment is that, oh, Richard's much younger, actually, than I thought he
Yeah.
was going to be. But it's a minor quibble, not too concerned
I
with
mean,
that.
he's older, but I did want him to be like timeless and go through a whole bunch of stuff, but this is the story, and we stick it. It's not as disappointing, because we know why. I mean, I expected him to be always on the island, controlling the island, part of the island, and I mean, he's just there. He's only slightly older than all of the stuff that's gone on throughout the whole show, which I really thought that he was going to be from the island and part of why it was weird, you know?
Yeah. But that being said, still not dissatisfied at all with his actual story as we see it told. Because I wanted to say, because you said earlier that this is you said maybe this is maybe your favorite Lost episode. Is that what you were saying?
I think in recent memory, yeah, it's the one that got me the most excited.
Yeah, because definitely after it was over, right away I thought, man, this was just like not only. Maybe my first, I mean, my first, maybe not only my favorite Lost episode, but maybe my favorite piece of live television that I've seen in maybe the last 10 years, like of any show. And I know that was a pretty crazy thought, so I was like backing off that at first because I was trying to think of all the other shows and all the other things. And somebody on Twitter pointed out that there was another really good episode of Lost back in season 4. I can't think of the name of the episode right now, but it was the one. It was like a big Penny Desmond episode where a lot about Desmond was revealed in his life. And I can't think of the name right now of that episode. But yes, that was also another very, very powerful and moving
There's been
episode.
some good episodes on TV, but I would go with in recent memory in the past 3 or 4 couple of years,
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say 10. 10 is a bit because,
Well,
well, maybe 10.
yeah.
You know what? I
It's
might
still,
go
though.
10. I might go 10 because Deep Space Nine had a really good one, a really, really good one. Where, well, I'm not going to get into it, but that was a really epic episode. And there were some other things, but I think Deep Space Nine is older than 10 years, so
Oh
you might.
yeah. And oh, by the way, another disclaimer. I'm not saying it's the best single episode. Like everyone should
No.
listen to me, and like
No,
I
but
think.
I'm trying to agree with it's up there.
Right,
That's
right, right.
my point in mentioning that it is really up there
Oh.
as some of the best TV in a very long time.
Oh, it's definitely up there. But what I'm trying to say is, first,
Might
there's some
toss.
movies or episodes of things that you can say, okay, this has to be acknowledged by many people. That this is one of the best things out there, like Avatar or whatever. It's like a populist kind of thing. But when I'm saying this about this episode, while it may be liked by tons of people besides me, I'm speaking more on a personal level. Like, just for me personally, it really, and someone again on Twitter pointed out even better than I can, that it really struck a chord for me personally, which is why I personally put it up there as perhaps my favorite one little hour of television I've seen in the last 10 years. And so I started thinking about this and like why, like for myself.
Yeah, what was
And
I don't know
yeah,
why.
there was three general reasons why, for me personally, it goes up above other things in my mind. And again, there's tons of other things like about the episode, but the three main things I try to break it down to were, okay, obviously in the context of the show Lost and the nature of the show being so secretive, obviously this show had a ton of answers
Yes,
revealed. Ton.
biggest reveal episode ever.
Yeah, that I can think of. And so that was one of the core components. Tons and tons of answers, finally. Another thing, again, personally for me, is that a large chunk of the episode was just straight up in Spanish. And I absolutely loved it. And I, because I like it in general in a lot of shows and movies. But, and I also, I thought, oh, you know, yeah, they're speaking Spanish, but this is only going to be for like one or two little scenes. Or they might do what is often done in shows and movies where, okay, the character is speaking Spanish at first, but then they just kind of switch to English. You know, they just acknowledge that, yes, they're speaking in Spanish, but we're just going to go to English just to make it easier. But no, they did not do that. And I was like, yes, thank you. Because, you know,
They do
generally,
that on Heroes and Flash Forward as well.
and then generally it's, you know, it's frowned upon because, you know, who wants to have a high profile show or movie with tons of subtitles in it? But
I
no,
didn't mind.
they just did it anyway. Oh yeah, and they just did it anyway, and so I was like applauding. I was so happy, and it added more texture to me because while I don't speak Spanish fluently, I could follow along the whole way without even reading the captions. And then also just because I'm sure it's like this for
I could
people.
a little bit too, but his Spanish is different.
Oh yeah,
It
because
was.
it was Spaniard Spanish as opposed to like Mexican Spanish,
Oh, I know it's Spanish.
but I mean, I'm sure it works for other people on the same level. Like with Dogen, for instance, when he speaks Korean, yes, we get to see the little subtitles at sometimes. We see the subtitles of Dogen, but for anyone who happens to speak Korean out there, it's just an added plus for them to go, oh wow, I know exactly what he just said, because
And
we
he
all.
sounds better speaking Korean,
Right. Well, yeah, I
actually.
think this is natural,
His
but
voice sounds better.
yeah, but I mean, because even though we do get the subtitles, you know, there's just little, they're not really important to the story or the plot, but there's little things of meaning that is just a little bit more clear if you know, like the actual translation. So that is like a plus, like all the way through. I'm going, oh wow, it's so awesome. So that was the second point for me. And the third point, which for me is the biggest one for me personally, was, oh my goodness, when they were having, when towards the end, when Jacob was having the conversation with Richard after they went through their little their tussle in the ocean and all that, and
The
they,
baptism.
yeah, exactly, I wasn't gonna say it, but yes, the baptism right
Mm-hmm.
after that, and they had settled down and they're having a nice conversation. Okay, let's see. So they got to this part where Richard basically said, so before you brought my ship, there were others. And Richard says, yes, many. What happened? They're all dead. Why didn't you help them? If you brought them here, why didn't you help them? But I wanted them to help themselves, to know the difference between right and wrong without me having to tell them. It's all meaningless if I have to force them to do anything. Why should I have to step in? Okay, that little piece of dialogue, as I was watching it for the first time, my head nearly exploded.
It was orgasmic, wasn't it?
It
It was
was
just, I love
crazy
it.
because not
But
just
no, I think
not not
you're
just
stopping short. I think you're stopping short because to me, it went one step further when Richard was like, "Well, if you don't step in, he will."
Well,
That drove it home.
oh yeah.
That drove it home.
I understand that part, but I didn't, because that is the next line that follows what I just read. But the reason I focus on this part is because, again, talking about from my own personal point of view, because it has dual meaning for me. It has a huge meaning, that statement, within the context of the show, because it explains a lot about the whole island and everything, like the whole point. That's part of
Isn't
it
this
for
the
me.
God and devil?
Well, that is when you talk about Man in Black versus Jacob. But I'm talking about, again, that whole bit right there, it has a lot to do with explaining the point of the island and everything, and that's fine. That's a huge chunk of it. But then the part for me which was why I pointed out from my personal point of view, is because this whole idea, this whole concept of what Jacob is talking about, it's something that I have like devoted so much time in my own life thinking about. I've thought about this endlessly, like on my own, before Lost was even a show. You know, for at least 10 years or more of my life, I've thought so much about this concept. And so for a show that I love, like Lost, and to discover that it's all really, a lot of it is hinged upon this same idea, then of course it hits me like on a personal level much deeper than just the show itself. And so that's why my mind was just exploding. Like it was just almost too much for me to take because I was like, oh my goodness. It's like they tapped right into my psyche. Like,
So, what are you saying? You're a fan of not getting involved and letting people making their own decisions
well,
without them having to be, force-fed? Because,
to make it short, yes, but
well, but the, but then the whole point after that was that Richard became Jacob's messiah in a sense, because Jacob realized that him having a hands-off attitude was not working, and he needed someone to be in there to speak for him and be the person that interferes, because he actually realized when Richard told him that if you don't step in, Man in Black will step in and he will take these people from you, and that's why they keep dying. That's why you keep not getting the results that you want, because you're not stepping in.
well,
So I
yes.
think.
And that's always part of the conundrum, not only in Lost, but also in real life. And this is part of what I'm always tackling or thinking about in real life, is because I feel much more strongly towards Jacob's point of view. But then what you just said, Richard said about Man in Black, it's true in Lost. It's also true in real life. And I recognize that. And so that, yes, that's part of the struggle that I'm always just thinking about all the time, like on my own. It has a lot to do with a lot of things outside of Lost. And so
And
that
I
was
do find
huge. It
it
was huge for
I
me.
find it I find it kind of awesome too that both of us seem to remember that word for word only after viewing it twice.
Yo,
That
yeah.
whole scene.
Because
We seem to both know that thing word for word.
I was watching the show live, of course, the first time. And as I was watching it live, when Richard got to that part, my mouth was agape. I was watching it with somebody else. I paused it live. And I was like, oh my God. I rewound just that one part, watched it again. Oh my God. Rewound it, watched it again. And then finally continued from that point on. And I was like, oh my goodness. Because it was so much. I've thought about it too long. And then again, for my own real world experience to like combine with the show, the world of the show. And so that's why for me personally, this episode stands head and shoulders above. Because there's more. I mean, as I said, there's plenty of other good things
Oh
in life.
yeah, we still, I mean, my
There's
goodness,
plenty
there is
more. I
tons.
mean, at some point, we're gonna have to talk about the love story here. What? 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 What?
What about the love story? I mean, it was just his wife
Really?
and on
Really?
and
Oh my gosh.
You'll
Okay.
have to school me because I wasn't that,
No.
I mean.
I mean, there's nothing. No, there's no hidden agenda or anything. It's just. What was there, I thought it was beautiful. It was beautiful because this is one thing I like about Lost in general, why I've always liked it, and why I find it better than other programs. Because many shows try to do this same thing and fail, and Lost more times than not succeeds
To do what?
to create a little personal story that can exist even in just one episode, not even a story arc. I mean, for instance, other emotional times on Lost have been like where,
Penny
like,
Desmond,
of course, well, that was
Rattle
one of the more above
Sawyer.
average ones. But yeah, but wait, hold on. Because, yes, like, for with Jin and Sun, when they got reunited before, when
Oh,
they had
yeah.
separated before, obviously that's emotional when they came back together. I'm talking about back in season two or whatever, when they got reunited. Obviously it was emotional, but see, that had been dragged out over, like, I don't know, 8, 10 episodes, whatever. So, of course, it's built up. With Sawyer earlier in season six, when he had his time to reflect upon losing Juliet, that was another emotional time. But again, that was also built up because obviously we've seen these characters interact over many episodes. It's a story arc. So it's emotional again. But with this one, it's a little bit more unique to me because it didn't rely on being an extended, drawn out story. We never knew about her or his love interest until literally this episode. And
Yeah, we could have been a
amazingly,
unit for all we knew.
right. And amazingly, over the course of just barely 30 minutes within the episode, we are introduced to this brand new character, Isabella. And then the way it comes to the end, like, oh man, I loved it. Because I never admit it, but I do love, like, schmaltzy emotional scenes in movies and film. I mean, in television and film, but only when it's done right. And this is,
Chick
to me,
flicker.
the shining, to me, this is the shining example of it being done right. Because I was totally down with it. And I wasn't really sure. Okay. I wasn't really sure how this was going to conclude in this one episode, because another great aspect of this episode was Richard was pretty crazy at the beginning and has been for like the last two episodes before this.
Yeah.
It's been pretty loopy. And he made it pretty clear at the beginning of this one, that's it, I'm going to join up with the other side, with Not Locke. And I was thinking, oh, no, that sucks. Like, I don't want that. I didn't want that to happen. Just like I'm happy with Ben being with the quote-unquote good guys, his redemption. And then now Richard, I'm like, no, I don't want him to be with the bad guys. So that's what was set up at the beginning. But then, so I was wondering how this conclusion was going to work out just in this episode with the love story and with Man in Black, because he takes off and we know Hugo goes after him. And the way they brought it back, the way... Oh, I know some...
Because Jacob interfered. When Richard had a choice between, you know, the choice that he wanted to do, and he wanted to, out of pain, join the bad side, but, you know, left alone, he would have done
wait,
it. But
where did
Jacob
Jacob
interfered.
Interfere? Wait, where did Jacob interfere?
Jacob interfered via Hurley and Isabella, right? I mean, didn't Jacob?
Whoa,
Jacob is
whoa,
the
whoa,
person
whoa, whoa.
Who controls Hurley's visions of seeing stuff, or do you think that just dead people? I mean,
No. I don't think so. I think the only role that Jacob played in that is that Jacob bestowed this power upon Hurley. That's where I think Jacob's influence ends. Like, he either Jacob and or the island gave Hurley, or I think Jacob, gave Hurley this ability to speak to the dead, to see them.
Yeah,
you know,
but somebody had to trigger it, and it had to be, I mean...
No. I'm just gonna leave that up to I don't know how that works, but I'm not comfortable saying that somebody particularly triggered it or not. I don't think it works necessarily like that. I think maybe when Jacob wants to speak to Hurley directly, then yes, it gets triggered or whatever you want to say by Jacob because he's dead now. But those other times that Hurley has seen
Charlie,
person. Yeah,
Anna
exactly.
Lucia.
I don't. Are you telling me?
I don't know.
I just
feels like now
I don't
he was
think...
being guided, and the only person that's ever guided him in the form of whatever has been Jacob. And
no, that's not true. No, it's not only Jacob. It is those other people that you named, like Charlie and all those other people. They've all guided Hurley.
But maybe they were guided. Or they sent, because Hurley did not know who Jacob was until this season. So if he had appeared to Hurley as Jacob himself, Hurley would be like, I don't know who you are, dude. So he had to appear as Charlie and Lucia, telling Hurley what to do all this time.
No,
to...
I don't think that's
no?
how. I don't believe that's how it works. I mean, this
makes
is my...
sense to me.
No, it's just my opinion. I don't think that's the way it works, because I don't think. Now, I think Men in Black has done that. With what we were talking about earlier, with Claire.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like,
no, but Men in Black has done that.
No, he's made physical manifestations.
Yeah. Well, physical or
Probably
not,
have...
physical or not. My point is, I believe Men in Black. He was literally speaking through those other forms, like as Christian or whatever. But I do not believe that is the case with Jacob and Hurley's visions. I don't think.
Okay.
No, because. I don't think that Jacob ever spoke directly to Hurley until Jacob was killed and then appeared as himself, Jacob, to Hurley. I believe, again, that what Jacob did to Hurley by touching him is he opened the door for these things to be possible.
Okay.
And I believe that those other visions like Anna Lucia and Charlie were working on their own accord, those people now being deceased. I believe it was literally – it wasn't Jacob using Charlie's face. It was Charlie, dead Charlie, going out as a spirit and speaking to to Hurley. And the same thing with Anna Lucia. It was Anna Lucia. It was.
But why after these people are dead and they don't, and the island, you know, having killed them before the, you know, because of the island, what motivation do they have to show up and guide Hurley back to the island and do all this, now, see, you know, back and forth?
I don't have the answer for their.
We'll see then.
No, because again, see, I feel like Jacob opened the door. In other words, so picture a door left open. So now there's a conduit open to where these spirits can now step in if they choose. I feel like that's all Jacob.
But if they would step in, like, what would Anna Lucia gain by coming to?
But you could say that about many ghosts who in fiction or whatever, you could say that about many ghosts. Like, why are they doing that? Why are they stepping in? Maybe because they care. Maybe because they care. Maybe because in death. I mean, I'm speculating here, of course. But maybe in death, because they see the bigger picture. Maybe in death, they see, you know, the importance. And again, the door is open now, so Hurley's their only way for them to express themselves. So of course they're gonna go to him. And in some way, they see the bigger picture of what the island and the good and the evil. So I feel like I feel like that is really Charlie, you know, the spirit of Charlie speaking to Hurley. And then again, I think Jacob did that again. Jacob did this as his like escape clause, just in case he is in fact killed. He wanted that door to be open so that in his own death, he could still, you know, communicate with those who are living. So I feel like that was all done intentionally by Jacob. But
okay, well, I you know, whatever. We can agree to disagree, but let's move on to the statue.
Okay, the statue.
We've been trying to figure out what the statue. Well, we know what the statue is. How did it get broken? Why is it? Well, we still don't know why it's there. But I thought that the way it was broken was a bit ridiculous. I mean, it now makes sense because, of course, Jacob made the Black Rock ship, I guess, hurl through the air, breaking the statue. Ship stayed intact and landed in the middle of the island. Weird. I don't know. It was just weird to me. But, I mean, it works, I guess, now that we know how the statue got broken. It's just a mystery solved.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it wasn't really too weird for me. Like, I mean, it was perfectly plausible within the show. I mean, the only minor quibble would have been that why didn't we see other... Like, there was a massive tidal wave, basically, that thrust the ship up there, hit the statue, thrust it
on
somewhere.
On the head.
Right?
I mean, that had to be some high waves.
Yeah, the only quibble I would have is that why couldn't we see other after effects of such a like tidal wave or tsunami? Like more devastation on the beach, like when Richard gets to the beach, or, you know,
maybe it is,
but that's a minor quibble. That's the only thing. But other than that,
the island is a mess, so you know, you never know.
Other than that, I was okay with it. But going back to the statue itself, somebody else pointed this out somewhere where I was reading a few days ago. Because someone was saying, oh, is there some Twilight or vampire influence going on here? Because
I saw that too.
Because a couple
episodes. Is that on Twitter?
I don't think that's. I think I saw it on like Lostpedia or something like that. I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I saw that same thing.
But someone was saying how, like, two episodes ago? Or so.
I think Joe was saying something like that.
I don't know.
I think it was on Joe's blog.
I don't know. But
because she was saying something how she wanted somebody to be named Edward or something.
Right. I saw something about the Edward part too. But yeah, the two references to the vampire thing were earlier. Was it Ben who was talking to Richard? Someone was talking to Richard and said, or was it Hurley? I think it was Hurley. And he was talking to Richard and he was saying, like, hey man, like, what are you, like a vampire or something?
Yeah, it was Hurley.
Okay, he said, yeah, are you like a vampire?
Cyborg.
Yeah, exactly. Cyborg, vampire. And then in this episode, the supposed vampire connection was
nobody goes in unless I invite them in.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also, one more thing, I found it kind of, I guess, cool that Man in Black gave Richard the same knife that Dogen gave Saeed to kill him, and used the same words, kill him, thrust it right into his chest. Don't let him talk. If you let him talk, it's too late.
Yes, and thank you.
So that was another, they are one and the same
Oh, but
hint for
in
me.
more ways than you realize, because thank you for bringing that up,
Okay.
because that was like
Okay.
the next topic I wanted to get to.
Okay.
Because, and this is going back to like earlier when I said, what's the slight Egyptian connection and there's something else going on here. Okay, you brought the knife. Okay, and yes, I think we all saw that, what you just said, like, the juxtaposition of now it's a weapon trying to be used against Jacob, yada, yada, yada. Fine. But now this knife itself has like more details in it, in of itself, and it ties into some other things. This type of knife is a specific type of knife. If you look at it closely, it's a type of Roman knife, which is called like a pugio.
Look at you.
It's kind of like an ornamental, obviously like, fancy looking knife. Now this ties into, okay, it's a Roman knife. Okay, so what?
That goes back to
Well.
your Odysseus thing, or?
Well, no, not just, well, not that in particular, but okay, the title of this episode is Ab Eterno, which is not Italian, Latin. And then remember how Richard is referred to as Ricardus?
Cardus, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
That is hello Latin. And then, because that's what made me think at first, oh God,
Oh
is he?
no, he's Spaniard.
No, I know, I
Spaniard.
know, I know, I know, but we're not done. But
Okay.
who's referring to him as Ricardus? It was
Jacob.
exactly. Okay. And okay, so the knife is a pugio, which is a Roman ornamental knife, which is often used in assassinations in Roman times. Like many Caesars and whatnot were assassinated using such a knife. And not only that, but if you look very closely, and I didn't discover this myself, but someone else pointed out, and I went back and looked just today to verify it. If you look closely, you can see when Man in Black hands it over to Richard, there's a little like not inscription, but like a little symbol like on the hilt. You can barely see it if you know what you're looking for. Well, there's a picture, if you will, of the she-wolf of Roman mythology. She-wolf, are you familiar with that story? Right, the she-wolf who took care of the twins, Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome. Okay, so if you're familiar with that story and the twins and everything, see, now this really fits into
Oh, crap.
Man in Black and Jacob, maybe not necessarily being the same in the one, but maybe being two sides of a coin, or maybe being like twins, or
Twins,
there's many
yeah.
different ways you can interpret that. But anyways, it still
Yin and
shows the
yang,
connection,
as we
yes,
said
the
before, yeah.
connection between the two, and what's going on, and what happened with Romulus and Remus. There are two kids who were raised by the she-wolf, and they grew up, and each one of them wanted to start their own following, one at one place and another place. They argued about it a lot. Eventually, Remus was killed, and then Romulus took over and founded Rome. So there's a lot of things going on here, and so now that's starting to lead me to believe that Jacob perhaps is a person who's been alive since Roman times. I don't know. And
Well, it would have to be early BC, late.
no, not
No,
well,
not early BC, late.
basically close
Early
to the
AD. Yeah, like
well basically close to the
Cleopatra
year,
time, Caesar time.
exactly exactly yeah, close to around the year zero, just to make it even. But and again, so that's where, if Jacob was of an origin from Rome, that's where I see a lot of the interaction and connection going into like Egyptian times, because that's when like Romans and Egyptians had a lot of interaction. So this all leads me to believe that at least Jacob, probably those could be his origins or where he came from, his original time period, because there's just too many clues. So,
I still, I mean, it's still a question
And another
as
thing
to.
too, another slight connection to the whole
Okay.
Latin thing, just like how Jacob refers to him as Ricardus, we've known before this episode that the captain of the Black Rock was named Magnus Hanso, And
such a great name, Agnes.
yeah, and exactly, and though it doesn't have to be that kind of reference, like Magnus does not have to be Roman or Latin in any kind of way. It's still like Jacob. It's somehow that guy could have the character who we've never seen. He could have in some way a connection to Jacob, like perhaps Magnus was working for Jacob in trying to get Richard to the island. You know, perhaps Magnus was Jacob's tool.
No, I think,
Why?
well, Joe suggested that the Magnus family or Magnus's last name family was in connection with Whitmore in
Well,
some
no,
shape or form.
that very well could be as well.
Even, back then.
No, but yes, and that could very well be true. And again, Magnus is
Makes a lot of
not the
sense.
last name, it's the first name.
Yeah, no, I was just saying
But
Magnus, whoever, whatever his last name.
no, and yeah, yes, and I definitely feel there could be a connection with that as well. Like Widmore could be a modern day version of the Magnus character. In other words, I mean, and what I
No,
mean,
no, no,
no, what I mean by modern day version is playing the same type of role
no. Right, because the
as
Black Rock was a vessel nearing the island,
Yes,
sort of like. Okay,
yes. But
I
I
see
mean,
where you're
because
going with
we still don't know Widmore's exact role. Like, who is he really
this.
working
Yeah.
for?
Oh my God, we still don't know.
He's more,
Jeez.
but he's like a tool at this point, a tool, an implement is what I mean. And Magnus very well could have been as well. And Magnus, I mean, man,
God.
goodness, Magnus
That
is.
is a very good question. How does, if we do have this Romulus, Remus, Jacob, Man in Black, why doesn't Man in Black have a name? Which is why I think they're the same person now. But anyway, how does he fit into this whole thing? What does he know? What is he doing? Is he just trying to mess with Ben? Why? What?
Which person are you talking about?
I'm talking about Whitmore.
I really hope that just like with this Richard episode, which is almost all about Richard and his past life, I really hope we get a Widmore episode like this. Because thus far
Need one.
we've seen Widmore here and there in different, you know, we've seen him throughout his life because of like season 5 and the time travel and all that stuff. But I definitely would like to get a fully fleshed out episode where we have another, oh my gosh, smack our forehead kind of episode where Widmore's true motivation is like finally revealed, you know, because there's so much going on there. I mean let's not forget. Okay, do you remember why Widmore was banished from the island by Ben? Do you remember why?
Was it for helping somebody? Oh, no, for impregnating somebody
Yes,
off
because
world,
he was,
off
yes, yeah,
island?
exactly, he was sneaking off
Okay.
the island behind everyone's back and having like an off island relationship, which was like against the rules. Okay, so that was bad. He got, you know, kicked off the island.
But
But
isn't that how Penny came to be? Or
exactly. So maybe that's something that Widmore, for whatever reason, maybe influenced by Jacob, who knows? Maybe he was like, maybe there was a hand in there, basically, that was like, you need to do this. Oh, but I don't want to do this, because if I do this, you know. But no, you need to do this because for whatever reason, Penny needs to get born, you know,
so
in
she
order
can
to.
anchor Desmond.
Exactly. So maybe Widmore, knowingly or unknowingly, it was part of his destiny. Like he had to break the rules, in effect, you know. See, so he's, in other words, he's just not necessarily a bad guy at all. It's just.
Yeah, I've been waiting on that because I've been feeling that too. Like we don't understand Whitmore. I mean, he does some shady crap, but sending Kimi and all that stuff. So, I'm not going to shed too many tears for the guy, but
Yeah, I'm just saying it's going to be beautiful if there is a Revelation episode on him as
yeah,
well.
ma'am.
I would love it. I would love it. Let's not forget he's Faraday's father as well. I mean, my goodness.
Wait, what?
He's Faraday's father.
How's that? Oh,
Because.
crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
Like, Penny and
crap.
Faraday are like half siblings.
I just didn't put that together, but I knew it the whole time. Jeez.
Yeah.
See, there's just so many details in this show. Well, do we have anything else or you want to wrap
Oh,
this
I
up?
just
How
have
long have we been going?
one more little
That's fine.
point
It's
here.
fine. I'm not trying to
One little
rush you,
point on
but
my
I want
notes, and then I would have covered all of my main things. Well, other than the fact that
I got all my notes done.
other than the fact I didn't realize Ilana was Russian, but I don't know if that's important or not. But I just didn't realize that until this
That was
episode.
Russian they were speaking. I thought that was like some sort of Asian
Yeah,
language.
I always thought she was some sort of like Middle Eastern descent. I mean, I don't know. I just assumed that
I
all
thought
this
she was
time.
Spanish or something.
No, but no, there's she speaks Russian. But anyway, that's not my main point. I just say I didn't know that though until this
Okay.
episode. But
Did she get healed by him touching her? Because she seemed to heal really fast, or I don't know.
that's the speculation around the campfire, like in forums and whatnot. That is the speculation, is that when he touched her, that it perhaps he perhaps helped her heal much quicker. But
She was looking bad.
yeah, but we don't know for sure. But yeah, that's the speculation. But the other little point I had here was going back to this eternal struggle between Man in Black and Jacob, and we've seen the rocks before, like the rocks on the scale, the black and white rock. And obviously we saw the rock in this episode that, you know, Jacob gives to Richard as like a symbol to give back to Man in Black. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, right? But I didn't come up with this on my own, but someone made
If
it.
you're about to say this, I totally blogged this today. I know what
Oh,
you're gonna
I
say.
don't know. But yeah, but somebody else brought this up and I go, oh my gosh, why didn't I
Can I
think of
spit it
this?
out before you
Go
say
ahead,
it?
go ahead.
Are you gonna count the Black Rock ship as the Black Rock?
Exactly.
I
Exactly. Because
just came up with that today
I
too.
had not thought about that at all, really, until I read this. And the fact that it is a big slap in the face from Jacob to Man in Black, because Man in Black is always trying to bring out the worst in people, and Jacob is always trying to find the best in people, regardless of their past. And this is a huge slap in the face to Man in Black, because Jacob literally brings to the island a black rock and returns the black rock, which you could say is the ship and or Richard, and returns him to Man in Black as a white rock. And
Yes,
it's amazing.
that was so good. I didn't get that. Richard was being returned to Man in Black as a White Rock. I did not come with that, but I did pick up, oh my God, Black Rock, right, White Rock when I was writing my blog post
Yep,
today. And so, yeah.
I never thought about the name of the actual ship, and I don't know why, because it's
Yeah.
very a very obvious thing.
Yeah.
But see, this really makes a person wonder.
What
But
else
I
are we
hope,
missing?
no. I hope at some point, after the show's done, that they release a book where the writers and creators really go back and explain, like, their creative process of developing the show over the years. Because I really like to know, like, at what point did they know we're going to end up with black and white, good versus evil, this and that. Because I mean, Black Rock has been around since season one. Like, when they named
And
it.
then it felt like some of those season they didn't know what the hell they were doing. So to
True,
me,
true.
for it to seem so tightly wrapped up, it's astonishing. I would like to know that
Yeah,
too.
because. When they named it Black Rock in season one, did they ever think that that was going to play significance in the overall picture? Or was that just like a total random, oh, it's called Black Rock, and then later it just
Yeah.
fit into the whole. I want to know. Like, it's very interesting to me. And I mean, and Magnus Hanso, that name was first seen in season two in the hatch, when the door came down and Locke was looking at it, and there was like the black light writing on the door that had like the handwritten map. You remember that?
Vaguely a season two,
It
yeah.
because the door came down because like they didn't push the button in time, and the alarm's going off, and Locke's trapped inside because the blast door comes down, and there's like a black light, and there's like invisible writing on the door on the inside, and it shows like handwritten sketch of like all the different Dharma sites, and then like written off in the corner is Here lies Magnus slash Black Rock. I mean, that was like stated all way back when,
Wow, really?
yeah.
Whoa.
You can find that on the internet if you really want to look for that. Like, it's like a
I'd
still
just like
shot of
you
that.
tell me.
But I mean, it's just so I want to know at what point did they put this all together? Like, because it's craziness
This
now.
is just epic. I don't know. This particular episode, like a lot of people have said, if the show was to end today, I'd still have questions, but I don't, it was very satisfying, this show. This
Absolutely.
particular episode.
Absolutely. On so many
Yeah.
levels.
Yeah, it's very satisfying. So, I mean, wow, how do they do it all in one episode? I'm scared. What are we going to see from here
Oh,
on out? Are
I
they
am
going to
not
be this
scared at all.
good? I mean, not
Oh,
scared, but
no, but I know.
anxious.
I feel
Very
that there's going to be
anxious.
plenty more goodness to come. I really, because they've only shown me time and time again that they know what they're doing. So it's only giving me more and more
So you
confidence.
have faith.
Absolutely. I'm going, 'cause, I mean, if they screw it all up, I'm willing to go down with the ship, because I said it already, like, this season six
We
of
only got
Lost,
seven more episodes, so no, everybody has to go down with the ship.
this season six of Lost has totally been what I think everyone wished that BSG season 4.5 was going to be. Because we were
Yes.
all anticipating this type of situation, like, ooh, every episode we're going to get new revelations, it's all going to come clear, it's all going to tie together.
Yeah, it's all gonna be
Yeah.
connected, everything's gonna make sense, we're gonna understand. And no.
No, we
I
did
don't think
not.
they're gonna do us like that. I do have faith that they're not gonna do, because with an episode like this, the Richard Alpert, no, they can't possibly mess up, you
No,
know?
they really can't. They really, and I mean, because regardless of what they do at the very in the very last episode, regardless of how they want to end it, if they want to go out Soprano style or whatever
I don't know what that
show,
is. I didn't watch that.
well, I didn't watch it either, but I just know how it ended, and a lot of people weren't happy with it, just like with a black screen of nothing, but at the very end,
That's
but
how Lost ends every week.
yeah. Well, anyway, I don't want to explain the whole Sopranos thing, but.
Okay.
Regardless of how they choose to literally end it at the very end, you know, whether it's Jack and Kate sitting on the beach or who knows what, whatever they want to do at the very end, or like two Cylons going through Times Square, whatever they want to close with, they've earned it already. So they
Okay.
can do whatever
Yeah.
they want, really. I don't really
Okay,
care.
I'm gonna go in with that attitude
'Cause they
right
can do
now.
whatever they want, you know.
Because I think everything from here on out is a bonus for me. Because this episode was it.
Yeah,
Was it.
they've already paid their dues, so now they're free to do whatever they want. Really, free license, carte blanche to do whatever they want for the remaining 7 episodes plus finale.
Okay.
Go wild, you know? It's like, it's great. It's great. It's all good.
All right. Well, wow. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up. It's gonna be like an hour this episode.
Yup, sure is.
Yeah. So make sure you put some of that good Lost music that's been going on in this man, this
Oh
season
yeah,
to
you
me,
just
the music
oh,
is just.
this remind oh, how did I skip that? I didn't write that down. Yes.
I thought about it like earlier on, but we were talking about so many other, but the music this season to me is so vivid. It just really adds to it. I just keep asking you about the music because I don't know, for whatever reason, this season the music is just gripping me. It's pulling me in.
Have to
It's
really thank Michael Giacchino, who won the Oscar this year, I think, for Up. But yeah, and
Did Star
not only,
Trek
yeah,
score
and
and
many, many things. And
yeah.
besides, yes, the whole season has been awesome, the music. I already pointed out how there's already one theme from the Star Trek movie that's been used heavily, like with Juliet and dying and all that. But there was another one in this particular episode, Abaderno, that I was like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. But the primary love theme in this particular episode between Richard and Isabella, if you go back, the very first time they play it, and they play it many times, but the first time, oh, and I love this scene too, when Richard was like riding on his horse. Oh man, that was such a good part. It's very cinematic. It was just awesome. And then the music, that was the first time they played the love theme for Richard and Isabella. And if you listen to it, in particular the violin, it's very, very reminiscent of the Spock theme from the new movie, which represents Spock and his mother throughout the film. It's
Ah.
very prevalent in the Star Trek
There
movie.
was There was another theme when they were running through the jungle, and one of the other episode was that reminded me of Enterprising Young Men,
Oh
which is
yeah.
like maybe the third or fourth track on the soundtrack. And
Absolutely.
it was just like maybe just short, I guess, staccato violin, tunes or whatever. And it was very reminiscent of that. And then you pointed out Juliet's theme sounded like
Labor of
The
Love,
Labor of
which
Love,
is, yeah, exactly. So it's
just
interesting.
second
It's
track,
interesting.
yeah.
Yeah, Labor of Love is the third track, and that was like the theme for like Kirk and like him losing his mother, or not him, but his father losing his mother in the movie. And there's a lot of connection there, because it's like Sawyer losing Juliet is like George Kirk losing his wife. And then like in Abaterno with the love theme of Isabella, it's played heavily in this movie when Spock loses his mother unexpectedly and the loss that he feels. And that's a lot of what you see in the last episode where Richard loses his wife, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's great. I know it's kind of like, there's a lot of jokes like about the composer James Horner. He always like copies himself in music.
And, yeah, okay. Maybe, yeah, but it works here.
Yeah, I don't care.
It works here. Yeah. And I think the fact that I can relate it to other things, it's just that much stronger to me after listening to the Star Trek score like tons of times.
Yeah, me as well. Yeah,
I know what he's doing. So now when I'm watching the Lost show and the music, it's just vivid and sharp.
Absolutely. Next time you listen
to, I can taste it. It's good.
I feel the same way. Next time you listen to the Star Trek soundtrack, go to track 13, the one called That New Car Smell. Listen to the beginning. And if you don't think about Richard and Isabella, you're crazy.
All right, I will do that. Guys, we're going to wrap this show up. Eric, this was awesome and long. And I'm sure all of our Lost episodes will be an hour long from here on out. Deal with it. Bite me. Give us a call. You never call us. You never call me. They never call, Eric.
I know. I don't know what's up with that.
They never write. Well, they write, but they don't call us. What's the phone number? 773-336-2686. You do write, and we are on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line. You can go to scifipartyline.com, leave comments on the webpage. You've been doing that, and that's awesome. And, you know, whatever else you're going to do, just do it, and we'll see you at the party next time, okay? Bye.
Bye.
Who are you?
Wow.
You're already starting
straight
it off.
Gender.